All right, welcome back everyone to another episode. And if you are watching this on YouTube, can we take a moment to appreciate my lighting setup right now? I waited till this evening to record this intro, and I always record the intros in my car because it's just like a safe space if I mess up and need to restart, and it just sounds better in the car, I feel. So I waited till this evening and it's dark, so I have my all the lights on and my visor light on. So very professional. But this is where we're at. All right, let's jump into it. I am so excited about this episode. This is a dear friend of mine. Her name is Kirsten Tackett, and I call her Kiki because we met at a summer camp. We were both working it like 4 years ago. We have been friends since. I was in her wedding. I have watched her walk into marriage, into motherhood. And technically this worked out because Kiki's only a few years older than me, but she is part of the millennial generation, and I'm technically Gen Z. So it worked out. So if you are currently in a season of being single and you haven't quite yet reached, you know, marriage, motherhood, all those things, but it's a desire in your heart, I'm really excited for you to listen to this particular episode. This is a big reason why I asked Kiki to talk. I got to watch Kiki walk through that season of life before she was married and a mom. And she just gleaned so much from it and has so much wisdom to share. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear from her. This is Kiki.
I want to say we met, how many years ago was that? Was it
Four years ago this summer.
That's crazy. So we met around 4 years ago at a summer camp. Mm-hmm. And you were my saving grace during that camp.
No, honestly, you were. I was so sad when you went home for those 2 weeks, and I was like, I might just leave.
You really powered through.
I may just pack up and go home.
But you powered through.
I stuck it out.
I was so glad you stayed for that term because it really was, well, for me, it was just so far from home, and I'm not even like the biggest homebody. I don't get homesick very easily. I miss my family, but I love going new places. So when I got there, I remember being like, I have never felt this homesick. And I think it's just because I didn't know anybody going. But that camp, I remember you were in such a different season of life. I guess we both kind of were, but you were definitely like, you were single still, or you dated somebody for a little bit at that time. But you were really just in this season of doing school. You were an athlete, but you started school later, right?
I did. Yeah.
So you were older.
My freshman year I was 25. So I was older.
Okay. Yes. So you started, so most of your classmates were younger than you.
Yes.
So I remember you telling me it was just an interesting season of life, and you were running track at the time and figuring out if you wanted to keep dating this guy. You just were in this season of figuring it all out. And so now you are a mom. You've been married for how long? When was your wedding?
This will be 3 years in August.
No.
So
wow.
Really shortly after camp. Yeah.
Yes. That you met Jonathan and everything. I feel like I just got to watch kind of from afar, but just got to watch everything flip on its head in the best way. True. So talking about, I remember that was such a cool thing to watch because I kind of got to hear your thought process from camp. And then when we would chat on the phone and catch up after, but would you kind of, I guess, start there? That was one of the first things I thought about when I was thinking through what I wanted to ask you in this interview was just that process of being a woman who was like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to find my partner for life. I'm working or I'm schooling, like I'm grinding it out. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm serving all the things, but you were just waiting on him. And so you got married when you were what?
27.
So. Okay. Yes. So that's like so common now.
It is. I know.
When I was little, I would have thought, oh my gosh, I have to wait till I'm 27. But now like so many of my friends, that's when they're getting married. It's like their later 20s.
Yeah.
So kind of just talk to me about that, where mentally you were during that time, just because I know so many girls who are in that season of life right now. And they're just like, I am working. I'm being faithful. I want to do this with somebody. I don't want to go out hunting for him. Like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to do that. But also, you know, someone told me once, they're like, put yourself in a place to be found. It's just like, where do you sit mentally and how much do you let yourself take action and how much do you kind of wait? But I just want to hear your experience walking.
No, absolutely. I love this question. It's going to be kind of a loaded answer because just from everything I've lived, I've learned, and then kind of like you said, it's interesting that you said that. Growing up, I was thinking about this preparing to talk. And as you mentioned, it is very normal to get married later in life now. That's not odd. Yeah. That's not strange. In fact, a lot of people get married between that 25 to 30 or older window. But when I was younger, honestly, a lot of the people I graduated high school with were married by the time they were 19, 20, 21. And then they were having kids shortly after that. And so by the time I was 24, 25 and still single, you did kind of feel behind because a lot of my peers at the time and in my culture or in my circle and community, they were married, they were pregnant, they were having babies. And so it was very easy to feel like you were not on the right track or that I needed to catch up. But now looking back, 26, as you said, it doesn't sound old, but I remember when I was 16 to be told, hey, you're going to marry in 10 years. That would have seemed very discouraging. It would have been like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for 10 years? Just because once again, that was my desire. I desired to get married, be a mom. I wasn't driven by that. I know more people that's just, that's all they want to do. And I think now being a mom and a wife, I see the beauty in that calling. At the time when I was 16, 17, I just wanted a husband. It wasn't really necessary to have that drive to create a home and create a family and do all these things. Yeah. I just knew that one day I would want to. And so it was kind of a non-traditional path. I feel that I lived versus maybe culture at the time. I did go to school as a 25-year-old, and that was just something that now I see the Lord used it in my life to bring me to a place that I probably wouldn't have chosen if I hadn't gone to school. I most likely would not be living in Arkansas now, but that was how he got me there. And then that was how I heard about camp. And that was how I ended up working at a summer camp as a 25-year-old. Cause once again, a lot of people at camp, if they weren't staff, they were younger. They were early 20s. They're sophomores, juniors in colleges, which even though I was as well, I was older. And so I remember that summer I made the decision to go to camp. I'd been offered the job. And up to that point, I think I'd been offered the job about a month before summer actually started. And I told my parents, and once again, they supported me, but it was very much, are you sure this is what is right? You know, you're going to go work to summer camp. I had a good job back home that paid very well. And so it was that balance of, okay, remember your age, remember the season of life you're in. You really think summer camp is the right choice. And I just now looking back, realizing that's where God had me that summer. But at the time, I just felt so much peace about it. I agreed with them. I said, you're right. I would make more money if I came home to Texas, but I just feel as if I need to go to the summer camp. And so the Lord really used me, or broke me. I feel as if he really broke a lot of mindsets I had. A lot of, honestly, sin I was struggling with. To be honest, I had a lot of sin I was still struggling with and struggling in, and just lies I was believing. Because once again, you can kind of place yourself in a setting or an environment where, once again, you see friends dating, you see friends getting married, and all of a sudden you can just switch your perspective again and go, well, I want that so bad and I don't have it. I feel like I have to go find it. And so I definitely was looking for it for a long time. And I just, that summer, the Lord really stripped me of so many things that were important to me. You mentioned I was running track. I was, but I got a stress fracture in my foot that summer. And so I was in a boot for a good majority of the summer. And I remember that was so frustrating to me because in my mind, I was like, okay, I can't run now. And then I was talking to someone and they just didn't want to commit. They didn't want to pursue me. And so I was the one pursuing them. And then I just felt the Lord removed that. And I was like, okay, now I don't have a relationship anymore. And then, like you said, you're at camp and you're constantly pouring out to people. And so that's very hard when you naturally have a selfish nature. And so I just felt like the Lord was slowly taking things from my life that were so important to me. I put on more weight that summer. And so that was hard too, because that
I stress ate that whole
it
summer.
Was. Oh, I know. I did too. I did too. Never and my body just kind of held on to it. Me and so too. Now I'm like, I don't have a boyfriend. I can't run. And I've gained 15, 20 pounds. And I just feel like who I am as a person is just so foreign to me. I don't know this person. I was frustrated. And so, that summer was very tough. But the Lord just really spoke through other people. and spoke into my life that summer. I remember distinctly there was one job. I was going home for the weekend. I was visiting a friend. And I just really was, I kind of had this come to Jesus honesty moment where I was just like, God, I hate being single. I hate not feeling important or valued. I hate that this person doesn't want to pursue me. I hate that I can't do this. I'm mad that I can't do that. And I was just really kind of complaining to him. And I didn't hear any profound answer. I didn't have any light bulb moment where it's just like, wow, you know, God spoke to me on this road. But I just remember distinctly where I was on that road, having a bad attitude, being honest with God. And then the very next day I was sitting in church and I can't even remember what the sermon was on, but I just remember that as we were praying at the end, I just felt the Lord speak to me and say, Kiki, if you never get married, am I still enough for you? And I kind of struggled with it. I kind of wrestled with it. And I finally was like, yes, God, if I never get married, you're still enough for me. Yeah. And then this was kind of summer that my heart changed towards having kids. And I actually really wanted to have kids. And so the next question I felt God tell me was, Kiki, if you never have kids one day, am I still enough for you? Because that was a big, like, okay, I always made the joke, if I don't get married, I'll just adopt and I'll just still be a mom. And that's just Kiki controlling things again, where I was like, okay, if God doesn't give me this, I'll still take this. And I remember kind of just sitting there and just like, oh, that one hurts. Like, God, you know, I want to be a mom so bad. Right. But I just kind of sat there and I was just like, God, you're still enough. Like, even if I never get married, even if I never have kids, even if I never get to do these things that are so important to me, you're still enough. And I just remember this peace, and kind of just like this burden falling off my shoulders a little bit. Mm. And just my perspective changed from there. And that was kind of just taking a different path a little bit from trying to make things happen in my own timing, in my own way, to then stepping out and going, okay, God, I'm going to end these relationships that don't glorify you. I'm going to end these friendships that don't glorify you. I'm going to start doing things in a pursuit of you versus in a pursuit of busyness to distract me from the season I really want in life. And I feel as that's where I kind of kicked myself out in a lot of my life, just the pursuit of busyness. And so that really, when I ended up meeting Jonathan a month or two later, I really was in a mindset where I wasn't looking anymore. And so when I met him and he kind of started pursuing me and asking me out and texting me and kind of reaching out, in my mind, I really was just like, God, I'm not interested right now. Like, I'm just pursuing you. Yeah. And I feel like this guy might like me, but I'm done trying to make things happen. And I'm not going to text him back and like encourage anything. I'm just, if he's someone you want in my life, you're going to have to just keep him in my life without me pursuing him back. And I mean, he was faithful with that. And Jonathan definitely pursued me and made it very clear. And so, it's just kind of a back and forth of me trying to take what I want. And then God's just being so loving, honestly, removing it from my life. And I would struggle so much with that, thinking God was unkind and just being like, God, I don't understand. All of my friends, all of my peers, they're in relationships, and some of them not even very healthy relationships. And yet you won't even allow, like, all the best I get is a situationship, you know, like I just get something and then they ghost me a couple months later, you know? And so now looking back, I just see the Lord's kindness in it and protecting me from more heartache, more heartbreak, more soul ties, more attachment I shouldn't have. And so, looking back, I just really see God's goodness and kindness in that. Even in the moment, it wasn't what I wanted. I see how it was what I needed. And God just kind of sheltered me from a lot of hurt and even more mistakes.
Right. It's so interesting, the verbiage you used for when you finally surrendered your desires to the Lord. You were like, it felt like a burden fell off of me. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because we would never think of that as a burden, you know, like just the desire, like literally falling off towards, I feel lighter. Like I can, I don't have to control it anymore. And it's, I would never consider a desire that I have a burden, but I guess when you're wanting to control it like that and having a plan A, B, C, D, just in case, you know, the first thing doesn't work out. It's like, I guess that is a way we put so much stress on ourselves and on our bodies. I was talking to a friend the other day and I was like, I was scrolling through some pictures in my camera roll and saw you. I was like, you look so different, and I couldn't tell you why. But thinking back on it now, I'm like, you were so stressed out in that season, constantly, every day, so stressed. And she was like, no, I was. And I was like, you look completely different now. And I was looking at current pictures. It's crazy how your body physically change. And yeah. so when you say a burden was fell off of you, I feel like that almost is physically true when we give things up that we want so badly.
Yes.
Or ideas that we have and we're like, it has to look like this. But I just remember looking up to you so much when you were talking through that with me at camp. Because even though you were still kind of figuring out what to lay down and what to fight for, you still had so much wisdom, even though now you're like, oh gosh, I was processing so much then. I remember because I was 22 at the time. Mm-hmm. But I just remember being so encouraged by you being like, you know what, we're just being faithful. And yeah. I loved that you chose to go back to school and that you were doing track. And I think such a huge thing is when you find that person you want to do life with, I don't want to be found sitting on my butt, twiddling my thumbs, mm-hmm. being like, where's he at? It's time. It's time. Yeah. Where's he at? You know, like I want to be grinding it out and not just in an attitude of trying to be busy all the time, mm-hmm. but just like, I have a goal. I'm driven without somebody else by my side. You know, like I have passions and dreams Lord put in my heart. So I feel like you did that well from just what I was able to witness. But it was fun. So you met Jonathan at church, right? You walked in.
I had, funny enough, and this is just how God works, I had seen a picture of him actually before summer. My friend showed me this picture because he was going to be the K-Life director, and she was a K-Life leader. And she said, oh, look at this new guy. He's coming from Texas. Everyone thinks that because you're from Texas, you know everybody from Texas. And so it's always like, oh, hey, he's from Texas. And I was like, I don't know him. But she showed me a picture. In my mind, I was kind of like, okay, cool. And I think I was on my way actually to a date with this one guy that I've been talking to. So I really, in my mind, was just like, okay, cool. I'm on my way to a date. Like, I don't know why you're showing me this now. And so my first Sunday there, I walk in with my friend. I get met by my pastor's wife. And then Jonathan walks by and he stops and introduced himself to me and Abby. He kind of already knew Abby, but introduced himself to me. And then he asked us to sit with them. He's like, hey, do you guys want to sit with me and my coworkers? We have a spot. And so once again, I'm coming straight off of camp. I knew he had worked at camp. And so instantly in my mind, I was just thinking, okay, he's just very much a camp personality. He's just outgoing. He's just friendly, just being nice.
I can see that.
It's a type. And I really was like, he's just the camp type. You know, he's just outgoing and energetic. And so we agreed. And then afterwards, I really think I just left. I think I just kind of like, I left with my friend, didn't talk to him again. And then he came down to my school later that week because that ministry was doing an outreach there. And so I met him. And same thing in his perspective of the story, it's still just like, she shot me down. I tried to talk to her. She just was like, buddy, like pal. And he came later that week, same with his coworkers, to visit me at the coffee shop I worked at. And they kind of camped out there until me and my friend got off work. And then Jonathan just ended up talking to me the whole time. And so that's kind of when I was struggling with going, he could like me, he could just be nice, and I don't want to read into something and encourage something or go down that path again. So I was just like, God, I'm not going to pursue anything. Like, I'm not going to pursue anything. And so, yeah, we still tease about it where he
left him on red.
I was shot down every chance. And so it's really just the Lord. It's just the Lord that we worked out. It's cool now looking back just how quick it all happened. But being a part of that process, I just really saw it more as when it's God's timing, everything is just so smooth. You don't have to make anything work. You don't have to make pieces fit. It just happens so smoothly and you get to enjoy the ride and you're not, as you said, stressed out by the burden of, do I marry this person? Do I not marry this person? Do we move here? Do I stay there? God just really figures it out for you as you walk in faith and you kind of just take each season as you go. Mm. And if you do that, I feel that Jonathan and I enjoyed our dating period and engagement period so much because we really were just trying to enjoy every step of the way instead of worrying about the questions that maybe didn't need to be answered in that moment. And so, I don't know, I just look back on it with so much fondness because it was the first and only relationship I ever enjoyed, the first and only relationship that was just so smooth. I didn't have to, you know, ask to hang out with him. I didn't have to, you know, text him because I hadn't heard from him in 3 days. I mean, he was very clear in communication. He pursued me very well and he set the bar very high. And I think that was something that at that point in my life, I just kind of assumed all the good guys or all the guys that were chasing after Jesus, like I was, or trying to, were taken. And I would just have to settle for someone that knew Jesus. And when I met Jonathan, I was so encouraged by remembering that there are people who love Jesus and there are people who are trying to actively follow him and lead and pursue. And
Yeah.
It's just that waiting process. As you said, you don't want to be sitting around and in a sense wasting your single years, but using them and using the giftings, because I think that was always so confusing to me. You hear the analogy, just chase after Jesus as hard as you can and look to your right and you'll see someone doing it. Yeah. And that's your prayer. And you kind of do that, but you're like, I'm not seeing anybody to my right or to my left. But I think when you're actively following Jesus and you're using the gift sets that he gives you, mm-hmm. you don't really have time to worry about if there's someone to your right or to your left, because you're just actively walking out your purpose that God's given you. You might have moments of questioning. For sure. That's normal, you know, because we're all going to question. We all question our dads, you know, we all have moments of not trusting and going, God, is this really your plan for us?
Yeah.
But in hindsight, you can just see God moved me from so many different places and had me do so many different things. And yet each of those places I went, but it's hard not to think and assume, oh, I'm moving states, I might meet my husband, or I'm moving, you know, this, I'm changing jobs, I might meet my husband. But looking back now, I met my husband right when God wanted me to meet my husband. And every other place I went and lived and job I worked really just honestly kind of cultivated me and molded me into the person that Jonathan met and the person Jonathan fell in love with. Because when I was 21 and ready to get married, Jonathan was just graduating high school, because there's a little bit of an age gap. And so even though I was mentally ready to get married, if I had met 18-year-old Jonathan, we teased, but we're like, he wouldn't have liked me and I wouldn't have liked him, because God just really changed us so much in those 7 years, you know, 6 years before meeting.
That's crazy.
So that's always my encouragement. So crazy. People just going, you might be ready to get married, because I feel as if girls tend to mature quicker and they tend to get into that mindset of I'm ready for marriage quicker.
Oh, for sure.
But I always try to remind them that, hey, your husband might not be the person that you want to marry, and God's working on him right now. So let God do his thing. And in this season of waiting and not knowing your future husband, you can be living in those talents and gift sets that he's given you.
That's so true.
And yeah. It's just, he can use anything. He can use any situation, any story. And so you don't know what husband's doing right now. He might be in the military. He might be on tour. He might be, you know, working a job that he's not even thinking of a wife, because he's building his, whatever it might be. That's something. Yeah. We were talking about something I wish I had known when I was younger, or maybe I'd known, but I just didn't grasp. And I think that's just that truth that, hey, just wait for God to do his thing and stop trying to do God's thing for him, because your timing is not his timing and his timing is perfect. And so you just have to rest and trust in the knowledge. And I got to the point after camp, right before I met Jonathan, I got back to school. You start feeling that pressure again of I'm surrounded by everybody and their mother dating someone at school, and it's all the ring by spring kind of mentality, and everyone's talking about getting engaged next year. And you start feeling that pressure of going, I don't even have a boyfriend. But I just started praying was, God, help me be content in the season of life today. And that's all I started praying, just like every single day, not this season of singleness, not this season of whatever. It's just like, God, help me be content being single today. And that really changed my mindset too, because it didn't seem as overwhelming as a season. And you're kind of going, I don't know how long the season is going to be, but it's just that prayer of God, help me be content today. And if I can be content today, then tomorrow when I wake up, I can pray to be content again tomorrow. And then the next day, the next day. And it just builds until God is ready for you to meet your person.
Right. Well, it is funny. We want an explanation for everything. Mm-hmm. So in our heads, we're like, this must be why. Yes. It's because I'm in this season of singleness and I have to be. And I don't know, maybe God does call. I'm sure he calls some people to that.
Yes.
But I've seen girls do that and it be really beneficial to them. Yeah. Of like, I'm not dating right now. I'm not doing this. I'm putting focus. And it turned out to be really good for them. And they really did need it. And other times I'm like, dude, I think you're making this something that it doesn't need to be. And they're like shutting all these guys down. Sometimes it's like, okay. So I love what you said about the day by day. It's just like, I will be content in each of these seasons. And then I truly believe that's part of the relationship of walking with God and the little things and in the quiet, in those still moments where it's like, okay, he's going to show me what to do. Like when I need to take action, you know, it's not like, you're just like, God, you do everything. I'm not going to ever leave my house or I'm not going to ever do this. It's just, it's like, I go as you're prompted, you know? And I have a lot of friends who've started asking God. They're like, oh, I just asked the Lord about this. Or even people who are like, I asked God, where I should, what coffee shop to work at today. And I thought that sounded so ridiculous at first. And then I was like, you know what? if I'm even just inviting him into the little things, yeah, maybe he doesn't give me an answer. Maybe he does. So I've started trying to like ask him more. I'm like, where should I go today? Just little things like that. And at least it just at least creates more conversation, but it's fun. Absolutely. And it gives.
No, we just had our friend, actually, he spoke last week and he was talking about abiding and where it says in John 15, 4-5, where it's like, if you abide in the vine, you'll see the fruit.
Yeah.
And those who don't abide in the vine have no fruit. And so just, and that's paraphrasing it greatly, but just that, that practice of abiding, it takes a practice. And so, as you said, even praying and asking, Lord, where do I go to work? Like, what coffee shop do I go to today, Lord? That's just the practice of inviting him in and abiding with him.
Yeah.
Because it's not something we do. I think so often we just try to fit God in and it's like, okay, I prayed today. Right. I had a quiet time today. I prayed for someone today and I talked to God a little bit. Exactly. And so it's kind of like we just find these pockets and we just fit them in instead of that mindset of going, hey, everything I do, I'm inviting God into it. You know, every choice I make, I'm inviting God into it. And so, as you said too, in that pursuit of trying to make sense in our mind, I think it's also tempting to want to assume that God's punishing us. And so we start being really introspective
100%.
And going, maybe I need to do this more. Maybe I need to do that more. And even though that might be, God might be trying to teach you something. It's not always a bad thing that God keeps you from a relationship.
Right.
It could be almost the opposite, that it's his goodness that he keeps you from something because he has something even better. And that's been something I've been expressing to a friend lately as well of going, hey, always just, you know, keep going to the Lord. Even though you think this might be the person, until you're married to that person, the Lord might have something else for you. So just don't be afraid of going, well, if I don't date this person, I'll be single. And that's something I'm even more afraid of. So I'll just stay in this relationship. Because I'm like, even though he's a good guy, God might have a great guy for you. And so just because once again, he checks some boxes and it is comforting to you to feel like, okay, I found the one. I'm going to get married. I'm not going to die alone. Don't ever settle. And that's my thing. I was settling so much in my life. And there are so many good guys that honestly, I probably could have married and had a okay life, but I look at the life I have now and I see the husband I have in Jonathan. And if I had married anybody else, I would have been settling and I would have missed out on God's grace for me just because of being so eager and desperate to just find one. And so I have a friend that she's the complete opposite and she has a guy pursuing her right now. And she said, I'm almost hesitant to move forward because I love being single so much. Like, she's not called to singleness, but she just said, God's really helped me realize how much I love being single and how much I can do being single. And if I take a step to committing to a relationship, I'm saying no to other things. And that can be scary too, because she said, what if I say no to traveling more? What if I say no to moving for a job? And I think, once again, there's extremes on either side. So it's finding that balance that, hey, singleness, it's not a curse. It's not a gift that you want to return where you're kind of like, that's not for me, God. If you can take it back as soon as you can, that'd be great. But realize like, when you have it, you can do so many things that I can't do being married and being a mom. But on the flip side, there's so many different gifts and just even a deeper relationship that I've grown with God as being a wife and mom. Because I've realized there's a deeper level of selfishness that I thought I had taken care of. And then you get married and you live with someone and you realize how much there's still to grow and be sanctified. And then being a mom, there's a different level of selfishness. And so I mean, it's changed me and challenged me so much being married. And I don't look back in mourning of my single season, but I definitely look back and go, you can use your single years or you can waste your single years. And it's really sad to get to that point to look back and feel like you didn't get to use your single years and multiply, like we were saying, and being faithful with your talents in your single years. Because really, hopefully, ideally, once you get married, you don't go back to that, at least for a very long time. And then you really are in that season of marriage and being one with another person and being a parent. And that just, it's a different ball game. And so
Like, if you could go back and tell yourself during those single years, the top maybe three things, like off the top of your head, things that you would tell yourself, advise yourself to be working on before marriage.
I think a big thing really is stop worrying about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. Stop trying to make things happen in your own time. Because I'm such a planner. I love having, I used to always say this, and now looking back, I see how wrong it was. But I used to just go, if God could just tell me when I met my husband, then I'd be fine waiting however many years. But that's once again, me trying to control and to just know God's plan for my life. When really, a lot of God's plan for my life is just trusting and having faith and just being diligent in that. So I really wish I'd been more diligent. I really wish I hadn't been so stressed and worried and been focused so much on that, instead of once again seeing and utilizing my single years a little better. I don't think I wasted them, but I look back on my life and I just see where I was so consumed with this desire to get married or have a boyfriend or whatever it might have been, that I really wasn't as present in the season of life that I was in that I could have been. And so I think just being more present, seeing singleness as a gift, and also just being grateful for God's protection in that singleness. Because once again, because of being like, I wasn't single for lack of trying. And there are lots of people where I'm like, I don't understand why, like, I didn't end up with that guy, except for God's protection of just being like, he wasn't a good guy. Like, you knew that, but you were just like, I don't care. I just want a relationship. Right. Yeah. I just want to be taken on a date. I just want to do whatever. And now just looking back, it's like, that's just God's protection. So singleness, don't always view it as a punishment, but just view it as protection, because God is giving you for someone, and whoever that person is, you can, I don't want to say ruin, but you can waste that protection and just try to make something happen. Or you can view it as, hey, this is a gift. God is saving me for someone, and I'm going to use that to my advantage in the season of waiting versus just always being upset by it. And I feel like I wasted a lot of my years being upset by it and just wanting, just like, God, you didn't call me to singleness. I believe you put this desire in my heart, so I don't understand why you aren't giving me what I want. And once again, that's just kind of like a kid to a dad, just like, this is what I want and I want it now. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I say this to Addison a lot, because I've taught her, please, when she sees something she wants, she says, please, over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to teach her right now. I said, Addison, just because we say please doesn't mean you get what you want. And because there's some things where it's like, she doesn't want food, but she wants milk, and she'll say please. But I'm going, hey, but you need food right now. You can't live off of milk only. You're too big for that. It's like, you might not want a nap and you're asking, please, no, I want to go play. Yeah. But it's like, hey, but this is what is best for you. And even though you don't understand, you just need to trust that I love you. And that's why I'm saying no.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of just that same image, that just because we say please, just because we might be content in the season of life we're in, doesn't mean that, ooh, that's a magic word. We said we're content. Now God's going to give us what we want.
Right.
They might just still go, okay, so I can still be content. I can still trust God. I can still strive to be happy and content and joyful. In this season. Even though I really want this and I'm asking God for it daily, God might be saying no. Because I have you here, and this is what you need right now to grow and to mature and to be ready for the relationship that I have for you down there. But we're right here. We want this. But God has us here. And so that would be my challenge of just going, hey, just because you're asking God nicely doesn't mean that it's the right timing and it's what you need right now in your life.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Well, I can testify that watching you and Jonathan, when you talk about him being the best, and you're like, if I would have settled for anybody else, you know, and it would have been settling for you, not that all those guys aren't worth anything, just for somebody else, you know, but watching how much fun you and Jonathan have together and how well you complement each other, even just in, like, you were talking about your talents and your giftings and what you do with them and what you choose to pursue and how you show Christ in those, even just in the things you enjoy. It is so cool. So you guys have a gym now. You just opened a gym, boxing gym. Mm-hmm. And y'all are literally, for everyone listening, they're literally like training together. They have how many classes a day? You just told me you have like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, about 7 to 8, depending on the day.
A day. So, which is nuts. And you guys like redid the whole thing, right? You bought it and fixed it up.
Flipped it in about a month or so. It was a Victoria's Secret space. It is not a Victoria's Secret space now. It looks completely different. Yeah, that was a wild ride. But honestly, there's so many days that Jonathan just thanks me, and he said, this isn't even really necessarily your original dream. Like, this is his dream. But that's part of being married. I was like, your dreams are my dream. Mm. And honestly, working at the gym, it really does fill me with so much life. I love, I'm kind of the admin person. I'm the media person. I train classes, but I'm kind of behind the scenes too. And just honestly, genuinely, everything I get to do, I mean, I don't feel like our relationship is lacking because of being busy right now, because as you said, we do get to do a lot of it together. And so that's quality time that's being built. Even if it's not that intentional time, maybe across the dinner table, going on a date, we still get so much quality time together. And that's just been so sweet, honestly, like truly. Addison comes to the gym. She's incredible. She sleeps in the little back room during the morning classes. She walks around during the evening classes. Everybody loves her. It's fun. And so it really is just a family job, a family business. And I love it. Yes. I love it so much.
I think that's the coolest thing ever, because you have always been an athlete. And like you said, this wasn't necessarily your original dream, but I just think it's the coolest thing. You do it so well together. And even just how the childlike spirit you both have within you, like the story you posted the other day, I was commenting on, I was like, this is just amazing watching their giftings and everything that you did to train, even in college, you faithfully training the whole time. Like, I just feel like you're using all of that to train other people now. It's just the coolest thing ever. So I think that's a bonus for you deciding to be patient and wait. I feel like that's such a bonus of getting to do something you both enjoy like that.
I appreciate that. Really. I love the mission of it though, truly. Cause honestly, we haven't touched on it a lot. It did impact me a lot, but I mean, I grew up and struggled with an eating disorder from high school through 23, 24. I had like outbreaks of it again, 25. But the name of the gym is Made for More. We go by MFM Training Center, but MFM, it stands for Made for More. And that really is the mission of, hey, you're made for more than what the world says. You're made for more than what your friends say. You're made for who Christ has called you to be. And I love that mission so much that even though, yes, I've grown to love boxing, boxing wasn't necessarily my sport growing up. I love the mission that we have of going, hey, as trainers, we say we're here to motivate, encourage, and inspire you. And those three attributes, those three things, it's cool seeing people come a certain way and then leave a certain way where they really, I mean, we have had people say, you don't realize what your gym has done for me. And it's not the gym. It's really just that mindset that, hey, we're going to encourage you, we're going to challenge you, and we're going to remind you of the person that you are and the qualities that you have that are so amazing that you get to leave encouraged because of your time here. And so because of that, I love that heart behind it, because that was really a lot of the rooted issues in my eating disorder of not feeling like I was good enough and feeling like if I was just this way or if I just looked that way or if I just weighed that much or whatever it might have been, that my life would be so much better if I could just be those things. And so I love the truth of the gym of just saying, hey, you are made for more, but you're not made for maybe what you think. You're made for who Christ has called you to be, not what the world says you are. And so that really, I mean, I've just really kind of married into, but adapted to that dream. I love the mission of it. It's been so cool seeing God bless it and just seeing people grow. Like I said, people text us, reach out to us, not even realizing that those texts bless us. You know, it's like they're saying we're blessing them, but really those texts bless us and remind us, hey, God is using this. And it can sometimes just feel like a job, but when we kind of fixate on those truths that get sent to us and that feedback that we receive from people, it's a lot more encouraging to kind of stick to the mission and remember it's not just a gym. It's really that mission of being made for more.
Yeah. That's amazing. So that was another thing we talked about on the phone yesterday was the eating disorder you walked through. Cause when I asked Kiki, I said, what are some things that you feel passionately about sharing with just girls that are younger than you? She was like, well, that was such a huge part of my story and just like identity, learning identity and everything. And I was like, oh, we haven't even ever touched anything like that on this podcast so far.
Honestly, like I said, I did have a lot of lies rooted in that. I think the biggest thing, and if anyone is listening to this, that they maybe feel stuck, because that was my life. I felt like I was stuck. I started out not eating, and then that switched to dieting, and then that switched to overeating, and then that switched to binging, and then that just switched to mm-hmm. a lot of different things, and it impacted my body negatively for many, many years. I still kind of live with the consequences of poor eating habits for so long. Thankfully, nothing genuinely terrible. Just a couple things like, oh, like my hair doesn't grow hardly fast at all anymore, just because that's like I shocked my body so much by not eating, and then it's like back and forth. Huh. But I believe the biggest lie, I believe that I was stuck and I couldn't tell anybody how stuck I felt because it was so shameful what I was doing. Because once again, I was under the belief that, man, if I just didn't eat, that's almost a little bit more appealing to say like, oh yeah, I don't eat, versus I can't not eat. Like, I just struggle with overeating, and that's just embarrassing to me because it's something that everyone should know how to do. And yet I'm overeating. I'm eating in secret. I'm, you know, taking food out of the trash and like wanting to eat more, even though I just threw it away and said I was done. And so that was the biggest lie, just going like, you can't tell anybody about this because this is so embarrassing. And once I started sharing it with people, once I reached out and got professional help, I just remember it was just like I got my life back. I had a whole different aspect of life that I had been cheating myself from for so many years, because this was something I struggled with for about 7 years. And so once I really started pursuing healing and just really pursuing health, not fitness, God used that in my life so much and just broke me free from so many chains that were keeping me stuck and keeping me believing lies that, hey, you just need to look this way, you need to be better. That's always been my life struggle with it, like, you just need to try harder, you just need to be better. And I mean, I want to say it's Galatians that talks about not earning your salvation. And I mean, that can kind of filter in that lie of you just need to try harder, you need to be better. That can filter into my relationship with the Lord too, because I feel like I have to try harder, be a better Christian. I have to do this and I'll be loved more. I have to do that, and that makes me a better Christian. And so, once again, I see like, if I met Jonathan earlier, I would not have been very healthy at all. I would have maybe seemed healthy, but on the inside and just mentally, I would not have been at a place where I was ready to maybe live on my own and make my own family, because I was just not having healthy habits in place either. And so I even view that as a gift from the Lord, that he kept me from any serious relationships, because it wouldn't have been healthy if I got married kids earlier in life. I was still struggling with so many body issues, I mean, the list goes on and on with all I was struggling with. And so I think one of the coolest things is just remembering when I made that phone call and I called this institution, I was signing up for some eating disorder class help. They were saying, what's one thing you really want for yourself in the future? And I remember saying, I just really want to break this habit now so that my future kids don't struggle with everything I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah.
And now it's so cool to see how I have a daughter, and I talked about my future kids, and now it's like, I have a daughter. We have a family. And that's not something I feel a fear about or a stress about teaching her what is and isn't healthy, because God just really drastically changed my heart and mind towards it. And it took a while. It wasn't overnight. I really prayed for that overnight healing, but it really was a long process. I mean, I look back on old videos from 2020, which was where I was really like digging in and going through all this stuff. And I just, as you say, I kind of see a different person. I see someone who was kind of experiencing healing, and now I see videos and I'm like, I'm just not that person anymore. You know, God's really changed my heart and changed me as an individual. And so, yeah, that definitely affected years. And once again, it kind of all links, because I just really felt like I would be more desirable to someone, and maybe that's why I wasn't in a relationship, if I could just look a certain way, because my friends who looked a certain way were in relationships. And so, that was a lie I believed that I used to fuel a lot of 100%. my unhealthy eating habits and disorders. But God's timing is amazing. It really is. And so I'm just so thankful he really did keep me and kept me from being a mom until I was ready and was healthy. Because even that was a challenge when I got pregnant. I told Jonathan, I said, I think I'll enjoy being pregnant a second time way more, because right now I just want to believe the lie that I'm getting fat again. And I was like, I hate this. Like, wow. I just feel like I'm fat. And Jonathan challenged me. Like, he reminded me so much during my pregnancy of just going, hey, you're growing a life and that's beautiful. You know, you're not getting fat, you're on a healthy weight and that's okay. And so even that just shows the beauty of the right partner, because someone could belittle that and just be like, that's ridiculous. But Jonathan, just knowing my heart and knowing what I needed to hear, just always encouraged me and challenged me, like, hey, just remember, like, you're growing a human. It's okay. It's natural to gain weight.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
You very also much look incredible now.
What'd you say?
You look incredible now, too. Like, you're taking care. I'm sure, I know every woman's experience is different postpartum, but, like, I also know that you really did take care of yourself before you got pregnant too.
I appreciate that.
And so you look incredible.
Thank you. Even that too, I just see where it's like, it's still a process, you know? And I did struggle with that. Sure. And then I did have a lot of, I tore when I gave birth and had a lot, like I couldn't exercise for a very long time because I had postpartum for a very long time. And so even that was a season where, I mean, it was very tempting to want to fall into lies of, I'm not going to be able to lose my baby weight. I'm going to gain weight again. I'm going to be like the women that lose weight. But, and it's just the lies, the constant lies that, you know, you just have to refer to the truth. I think we think if we tell ourselves something's a lie, that we won't struggle with a lie. But I mean, if you identify something as a lie and remove that from your mind, you have to fill it with something that's true. Otherwise, another lie is just going to set in. And so
that's good.
Hey, if you remove a lie, replace it with truth. If you remove a lie, replace it with truth.
Yep. Because if you leave it vacant, like even with habits, someone, I learned this recently, they're like, you can't just nix old habits, but you have to replace it where every time there's a temptation there to do that, you have to have something else ready to be like, no, I do this instead. Like, or I speak this instead or whatever. So that's great advice. So what I'm gathering from all of us that you're sharing is one of the big things that helped you so much was getting yourself out of isolation, even if it was just verbally talking about it. Cause that is so many girls. It's like, I guess it's also talking to the right person and whether it's a friend or a parent or a mentor or somebody, it's finding somebody to just be honest with, because the enemy isolates and he keeps everything in darkness. So it's like the second you bring light to something, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And
no, absolutely. Community is so important. Community and honesty, because you can have community, you can have mentors in place, but if you're not going to be honest with them, and it's very tempting to not want to be, because a lot of times you admire the person you want to mentor you. And so you don't want to reveal all these shameful things, but honestly, being honest and genuine with everything you share, you'll often find that if that mentor or if that friend hasn't been in that same exact place, they've done something else that they feel is just as relatable. And so it's just like, invite community in. Be ready to be challenged by community. I think we get our feelings hurt when we feel our toes get stepped on, but view it as a gift, view it as someone challenging you. Being challenged is a good thing. And so be ready to be challenged by community, invite community in, and be honest with community. And that, as you said, will really pull you from isolation and bring you into a healing you may not have experienced yet.
Yeah, that's so good. Hey, Jonathan.
He just walked in.
Kirsten Tackett, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Conversations like this are sometimes what I need just to put like wind in my sails and be like, oh my gosh, I know these things. I got this. I trust you, Lord. I really do. I hope you were encouraged by that. If you want to check out what Kirsten and Jonathan started up, it's called MFM Training. That is their Instagram handle. So you can go see videos on the kind of classes they teach and just what they're about. It's so fun seeing how they've flipped. I think it used to be like a Victoria's Secret and they flipped it into a boxing gym. So, which is pretty epic. So go check out what they've done. But yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. Until next Tuesday. Bye y'all.